Well, should we turn to Matthew 14? Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Matthew 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then I have another reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to receive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprung there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just pray now that you would come in power to enable me to bring out your message for us today. We are helpless unless you move, and we pray now that you would move on the hearts of each one of us and upon our understanding to reveal the things that you want to say to us as individuals. speak through me, speak by your Spirit, lay hold of our hearts this morning so that we are drawn into a deeper relationship with you, but inspired, pricked to go on in our Christian walk to live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject of the walk of faith. The walk of faith. The disciples were out in this ship on the Sea of Galilee, and they are finding that as they row, they're not making very much progress. The wind is against them, and as they seek to labor with their oars, they're not getting on very well. That's brought out in Mark chapter 6 from verse 48, where it relates the same story. And now as they are in there and they're not making much progress, they see the Lord Jesus walking and they don't realize it's him to start with. But as he comes and he speaks to them, he speaks into their lives, they start to realize it's him. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." And so Peter comes out of the ship and he starts to walk on the water. And everything is fine for a little while, but then he realizes the wind that is around them and the storm. And at that point, he starts to sink. Now, in our lives, we as it were, start life in the natural. And just as they were rowing in their ship and not making much progress, we as Christians come to the point in our lives where we realize that there must be something more than the natural. And as we seek to try and do things in our own strength, we find we don't really get anywhere. And so we say, there must be something beyond this. There must be a kind of walk of faith that is open to us, that we find recorded in the Bible that apostles walked, that is not based on just the natural. There must be something else. And so for each of us, we may set out on this walk of faith. And as we set out on the walk of the faith, we learn to let go of the boat. We learn to let go of the natural, the things that are, as it were, of common sense, perhaps the things that we were trusting in before, all the things that would naturally give us the support and the reassurance. And we start to let go of those and we start to set out in a walk of faith with God. And that we've said, "Lord, may I serve you in this way? May I give my life to you?" And the Lord says, "Yes, come, follow me." And we set out. But after we've gone a little while, we can come into a place of such discouragement and such difficulty as we start to look around us and see what is going on, that the walk of faith no longer seems possible. And even though we set out on that walk of faith and we knew it was the call of God that we followed, having set out on it, we come to the place where we say, "Well, I'm now so many steps from the boat, and this is the place where I'm going to start to sink." And really, in a sense, the reason why we start to sink is because we start to analyze the situation that we're in, and in natural terms, it doesn't make sense. You see, Peter could look down and say, "I am walking on water, and I know I cannot walk on water. It simply doesn't work, because I am too heavy to be supported by the water. And in natural terms, I am going to go down." Now, as we go on in our walk of faith, we may start to look at the reality of the situation. We've embarked on something, and we've come to the place where we are now. But the moment we start to try and dissect it and say, "Well, what does my life consist of? What's happening? What's going to happen in the future?" The moment we start to do that and cease to just to trust in Jesus, that's the moment we sink. And so we start to come to the place where we realize that the walk of faith cannot be analyzed. You cannot start to say, "Well, what's going on in the future?" The walk of faith must consist of really looking unto Jesus and saying, I don't know what's happening, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to abide in you and simply go where you are leading me. I find in Hebrews and chapter 12, after we've had this great chapter on men of faith, men and women of faith, we find chapter 12 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that's the men of, and women of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so I'm really speaking this morning on this fact that if we're going to live the life of faith, we cannot analyze what's going on, really. But what we have to do is simply look to Jesus. And if we are walking in obedience to him, that's all we can say. That has to be enough for us, moment by moment, and not to look to what we think might happen or what ought to happen in the future or what seems to be happening now. If we are walking in obedience to Jesus, we know that everything is going to be all right. And so as you look down the men and women of faith, the key factor in the lives of each one of them was that God had spoken to them, God had given them a promise, and they knew that they needed just to be obedient to God. But the area of the reason why it was a walk of faith was because they didn't know entirely what was happening. They didn't know what the future was going to hold in entirety. Sometimes they had a promise that gave them a glimpse of the future. And each one of us, we have the promises that we know things are going to work out. But they didn't know everything. They couldn't analyze every little detail of their current situation. They couldn't analyze every detail of the future. But they simply set out. And we may look at, for example, Cain and Abel. And for Cain, it seemed, one who was trying to work things out, and it seemed the better sacrifice, something that he had done with his own hands, something as it were of merit rather than a blood sacrifice. But Abel simply accepted what God had said. God said, do this. And Abel was obedient. And even though it didn't seem to make as much sense for him as the offering that Cain made, yet he said, well, I will believe God, and I'm not going to try and work it all out for myself. And so when we first came to the Lord and we first trusted in him, we had to move away from what seemed to us logical, what seemed to us the things of the natural man, which would be to trust in our own righteousness, to try and do something better ourselves, to try and be good, and to say, rather, I'm simply going to trust in the one that the Lord sent who lived on earth 2,000 years ago and take him to be my righteousness. And it doesn't make sense to all the world, but I'm going to trust him. And it was that faith which saved us, wasn't it? When we looked to Jesus and trusted him to be our righteousness. And when we did that, we were born again of God, and the change happened in our lives, and we were delivered from sin. And so we find a similar thing with one such as Enoch, one who was walking with God. And the sight of God that others may have desired. He said, well, if I don't see God, then I can't walk with him. Well, Enoch walked with God without that vision, without that seeing him in the flesh. We may take one such as Noah, and he was warned of what was going to happen. He was warned that he must build an ark. But you see, Noah could have tried to work out how it was all going to work out in the future, and try to look at the logic of the situation, doing something that seemed so illogical when they'd never had rain before, and which everyone surrounding him would have looked on and said, this is not a logical thing to do, this makes no sense. And he had to stand against that pressure that was coming upon him from all sides, just as we have to in the world. And yet he was faithful because God had spoken to him and God had promised, and he knew, if I am simply faithful to what God has called me to do, I know it will work out. in the end. And we are surrounded by a world which speaks to us and makes certain, as it were, demands on us or persuades us that we've got to live according to their way. We've got to have all these things in place in order for us to be secure, whether it be pensions or certain insurances or whatever it is. We've got to have so much behind us rather than just trust the Lord. But to walk the walk of faith, it is simply looking to the Lord and say, well, I'm trusting in you, and what you've commanded, I'm going to be faithful to you. And if all the world around is saying you can't survive without watching television, you can't survive without doing all these different things, you can't have a life without doing what the world does, yet it's saying in the midst of those situations, God has spoken, and I'm going to be obedient to God, and I'm going to be faithful to him, and I know it's going to work out well for me if I am simply obedient to the Lord. And so that we see in the life of Abraham, and perhaps this is the most relevant message of one who set out, and it says that he went out not knowing where he was going. He had this promise of a land that they would inherit, but he went out not knowing where he was going. And that may be true for us. Perhaps it is true for all of us, that we set out and we don't really know where we're going. We don't know what the rest of our lives is going to hold. We don't know the details. And though we know that God is faithful to his promise, he says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I know the thoughts that I have to you, thoughts of good and not of evil, thoughts to give you an expected end, an end that I have expected, I have anticipated, I have planned. Yet, we don't know the tiny details. We don't know the next few steps even. But we can look to God. So Abraham set out, not knowing where he was going, but simply knowing that God had sent him. And he stepped forward, seeking to follow the leading of the Lord, seeking to go where God wanted him to be. And that is all we can really ask for. That as we wait on God, and God gives us the next step, just the next step, or we know even today that this is where we're meant to be. That's all we can ask for. And if we are seeking to know more than that, in a sense that is coming into a position of lust and murmuring as the children of Israel, they were seeking for something more, something, as it were, to satisfy them rather than being content that as God led them by the fire and the pillar of cloud just to go where God was leading them. The murmuring, the lack of just trust in God led them on into lust. And we will find the same in our lives. If we are not content just to say, Lord, I know this is where you want me to be. You haven't said move on yet. So I'm going to trust you. If we don't just trust the Lord in our current situation, we will be brought into a place where we murmur. And we will be brought into a place where we lust. And so Abraham, as he was trusting God, he knew that what God had for him when he eventually got there would be better than it would be if he tried to work things out in his own mind, in his own strength. And we remember the times when faith failed, and Abraham and Hagar conceived Ishmael, and all the problems that brought upon him and his seed, even to the present day. And yet, if he had just continued in that walk of faith the whole time and said, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know God is faithful, then he could have got through with greater blessing. And that is the challenge for us day by day, to say day by day, I don't know all the ins and outs, I don't know all the details, but I know God is faithful. And if I simply walk with him, and if I'm simply obedient to him in what he's shown for me to do today or this week or this month, I know that he'll carry me through to all his promises. And there we have the children of Israel, we have the seed of Abraham going in and inheriting the promised land. And eventually the seed of Abraham coming through in the person of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord said to Abraham, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And eventually the promise comes. But Abraham looking ahead and seeing, having the promises, but not seeing everything fulfilled in at that moment, in that day, could have become so discouraged. And today we can become so discouraged if we try to look at it and try to examine it and see all the ins and outs of where it should be today. Peter looking down, trying to work it out. That's the moment when he sank. That's the moment when he failed. And if we today try and examine everything and work everything out, that's the moment when we're going to become depressed and discouraged, rather than looking to Jesus and saying, you're the one who has promised to me. And my trust is in you. It's not in what I see. It's not on the water that I'm seeking to walk on. But it's upon you. Because you're the one who's promised me. It's not been my promise. It's not been something I've worked out. But it's you. You are the one who has promised. And as long as we are keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus and seeing that he is the one who's promised, then we're going to get through to where we need to be. And the real fact is that the more we try to analyze it, the slower or the less we're going to get into the promises of God. Abraham, trying to analyze it and going in onto Hagar, he delayed, in a sense, the promises. He brought problems just by trying to analyze it. But the more we trust and the more we just walk that walk of faith, the more and the more easily God is able just to bring us into these promises as we keep our eyes upon him. And so we see the same in the life of Moses. When Moses could have looked at his own situation and said, even as a prince in Egypt, I'm able to do more for God with my riches, with my position. He could have said that. And yet if he had done that, he would have failed to get into the promises of God. But for us, if we look at what we have now rather than just trusting God, they will keep us out of the promises of God. But Moses said, no, I'm not going to rely on the good, as it were, what seemed to be the good things, the things that the world would see, would profit me, the money and the position, but I'm going to trust God. And the point was that God had called Moses, and Moses was obedient simply to the call of God, and it was the call of God, and it was obedience to the call of God that brought Moses through into the place where he was meant to be, and able to serve God and see the promises of God fulfilled. I wonder this morning, are our eyes on these other things? Are they on the things that the world would pressurize us into thinking are the things that are going to bring us into victory? Or this morning, are our eyes simply upon God, upon the one who promised, the one who we know will be faithful? See, Abraham was looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. And the more we try and make things, the more we try and do things in our own strength, the only result of that will be that the things that are created are not of God and have no purpose, and they have no place in the things of God. But as we think about this idea of looking unto Jesus, we often speak about looking unto Jesus, and as we've prayed before the meeting and in the meeting today, there's been a theme coming through of looking to Jesus and having a sight of Jesus. But we may understand just what it means to have that sight of Jesus, but it's not just looking at Jesus, but it's looking unto Jesus, and it's that it has two features really. The first of these is that we are waiting on him. We lift up our eyes to the one who is guiding us, who is leading us, and we're saying, Lord, what's the next step? And we wait for him to say it. And when he says, it's this way, I want you to go this way today, then we know it. And that is the first feature of looking unto Jesus. As we keep our eyes on Jesus, when there has to be another step, he will make it clear to us. If our eyes are on these other things, we're not going to know the next step when it comes. And maybe we've been waiting for the next step. and maybe for a long time waiting for something to change. But as long as we're looking at the situation that we find ourselves, rather than looking unto Jesus, we're not going to know when the next step comes. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the next step, he says, now. Now's the time. But the second feature of looking unto Jesus is looking unto him in faith. Looking unto him, believing that he is the one who has promised. Believing that he is the one who is going to lead us to where we are meant to be. Because even in this very idea of looking unto Jesus, we can try and do things in our own strength. We try and look unto Jesus and say, right, I want to see you more clearly. I want a deeper knowledge of you, and try and work it all out and labor in our own strength rather than just look and simply to trust and say, I'm not going to work things out. I'm not going to live in my own strength. I'm just going to simply look to you and see where you are leading me. And it speaks about the men of promise, the men of faith, and how they looked at the promises that were given to them. It says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. It says, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. All of these things to the natural man would make no sense. Keeping the Passover to be delivered from the angel of death. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You see, in all these situations, the situation in which they find themselves doesn't make any sense. And as we are in our position before the Lord, seeking to walk with him, we may say, the position I find myself in doesn't make any sense. And it's a difficult situation. But the Lord wants to bring us to the place where we are simply trusting him, simply looking to him and saying, it doesn't make any sense the place I find myself in, but I'm going to trust you. Faith, the whole point about faith is that it doesn't depend upon what we see. It doesn't depend upon the situation in which we find ourselves today, but it depends upon the promises of God. And I believe the Lord yearns to bring us to the place where we are simply trusting him, not trusting our situation, not trusting our own abilities, not trusting the gifts or the material things that God has allowed us to have, but simply to trust in him. And as we seek to trust in him, that will be the thing that enables us to come into the fullness of the promises of God. Whatever we are desiring to have, maybe we are seeking after the things of Pentecost, the baptism and the Holy Spirit, a greater walk with God. If we simply keep our eyes upon Jesus, upon the one who has promised, we will get through to where we need to be. And it will be something that hasn't come from dependence upon ourselves. It will have come not through our own strength. It will have come not for our glory, but according to the glory and according to the strength of the one who has promised. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you are the one who has made the tremendous promises to us. We thank you that we cannot fulfill the promises ourselves, but you who have promised will fulfill them if we trust in you. And we pray, O God, that we would just learn to rest in you, to abide in you, and let you fulfill the promises in your time. O God, we pray that you would keep us from stepping out in our own strength and trying to achieve things in our own strength, rather than just to leave them to you, leave them into your hands, that you would work in your mighty power according to what you want to do, according to what you have said. O Lord, we pray that you would just enable us to let go and let you work amongst us. Lord, we pray for this assembly that you would pour out your Spirit upon us as never before. We pray that you would pour out your Spirit to the saving of souls here. Lord, that there would be such a power here in the preaching of the word, such a power here in our testimonies, that it would cause many in our community to turn to you. Lord, that there would be a mighty work done here, a mighty revival, a mighty awakening. Oh God, Lord, that your Spirit would move here in such a tremendous way that it would be equal to any move of you in history. Lord God, because we know that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. But Lord, we call upon you to answer these prayers, the Lord, to bring us into your promises. Lord, as you have said that if we seek your face and if we turn from our wicked way, if we continue to call upon you, then you will fulfill your promises to us. You will pour out your blessing upon us. And Lord, we just pray that you would do that. And we pray that you would keep us faithful. We pray that you'd keep us just looking unto you until the day when these promises are fulfilled. Oh God, show the mighty hand of your power amongst us. Lord, that it would cause sinners just to bow before you and say, truly, this is the living God. This is the one who has created all things. And that they would turn from their sin and turn to you with all their hearts. Oh God, we know there's nothing too difficult for you. And we are calling upon you, oh God, in our day that you would do what is necessary to turn hearts to yourself. Oh God, in our day, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons and the sons to their father. Lord, to reveal the fullness of your character. Lord, as people in our day, in our communities, who do not know you, have no sight of your character, the power that you have. Lord, we pray that in our day this would change and that men and women would turn to you as you reveal yourself. So Lord, we just look to you and ask you to fulfill your promises amongst us. Oh Lord, enable us to wait upon you. But Lord, we wait upon you and ask you in mighty power to descend and do what you have promised in the revival of your people and an awakening of those who do not yet know you. Oh God, work in power in our day and in our situation here according to your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee, trusting Thee for full salvation, great and free.